for those of you who do not know, we have about 10 families at Crosspoint who are in the process of adopting or pursuing a child through foster care. And we have the privilege this morning to hear from one of those families in particular, the husband of one of those families, Todd Lewis. Todd and his wife, Gwen, if you've been here at Crosspoint for any amount of time, you know them. You know their heart for the gospel. You know how well their lives commend the gospel. And you know that they love to talk about adoption and what how just that concept has radically changed their life. And so I'm going to ask Todd to come on up. He's going to share with us for just a few minutes. And Todd and Gwen have currently two children, Price and Knox. Price is 6, Knox is 3, or thereabout. And they're also adopting a child from India who they hope to bring home hopefully in January. Her name is Shanti, and she's 5 years old. Let me pray for Todd, and then I'll turn it over to him. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and how you display that through your people. I pray for Shanti, and I pray for Todd and Gwen, and for their family. We thank you for their heart for you and how that has really played out in their lives as they've had a heart to see a child brought into their home to care for and to love and to proclaim the gospel to. And so I thank you for them. I thank you for the grace that you have shown them. And we thank you for this precious little girl and for her. We just long for her arrival very shortly, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Wayne. Before I get started, I just want to acknowledge my wife over here in the second row. My testimony doesn't really include a lot about my wife, so I just want to make it clear that she's been the biggest source of comfort and influence during this process, and I want to thank her for it. And as she could tell you, I've been looking forward to this morning with a lot of anxiety because there's a lot of things that I do poorly, and public speaking is probably at the top of the list. But nevertheless, I'm privileged to be up here this morning. I'm happy to be talking to you because the subject of conversation is one that's really become very near and dear to my heart over the last months and years. And it's in spite of my absolute terror of standing up here that I hope I'm able to convey to you a little bit about what God has done in my life and how he's changed my life and how he could potentially change your life through the process of orphan care. I want to talk specifically about a couple of events that have occurred in my life over the last 8 years, which have led Gwen and I to the decision to move forward with adoption, or more accurately, led me to the point at which I was ready to submit to God's plan for our family and for our lives. The first of these events really occurred as I was beginning my residency in radiology when we were having a conversation with some of our good friends that we met through the military. Their names are Chip and Kristen Huey, and they were telling us of their desire to adopt a little boy from Eastern Europe with spina bifida. And in doing so, they attempted to explain to me why, as Christians, they felt they were being called to adopt, and why, as Christians, they felt it was important to support adoption, and how that process can be a direct reflection of God's love for us. Now, at that time, I was very focused on my own goals, very focused on starting residency, and I sort of let that message pass me by. And instead, I began thinking about adoption in terms of how I could use it to benefit myself, in terms of how I could use it to draw attention to myself, and how I could use it to elevate my status in the eyes of my wife, my friends, in the eyes of my family, and also in the eyes of the world. And so adoption for me at that time just became another box to check in attempts to impress the people around me. And by using it and by looking at it through this lens of self-absorbment rather than through a lens of humility and grace as God intended, I was taking this incredible biblical obligation that God lays out for us, and I was turning it into my own exercise in self-righteousness. And I became very boastful and very prideful in about our decision to adopt. And this was specifically evident in the conversations that I was having with Gwen's brother and his wife at the time. Back then, my relationship with Gwen's brother was one of competition. He and Gwen had been very close growing up. They were still very close. And I was very envious of that relationship. And I thought at the time, wrongly, I might add, that I was always competing with Gwen's brother for her attention, her affection, and her respect, for which, as her husband, I thought I deserved. And so I began using our potential adoption as a weapon against him, as a way to show him and to show Gwen that I was the better man, that there was no way that he could ever live up to the generosity and the sacrifice that I would be showing by rescuing an orphan, bringing him or her home, and giving them a life that otherwise they never would have had. And so you can imagine my surprise when several months later, Gwen's brother came to us and told us of his family's plan to adopt. And not one child, but two children from Africa. And on the outside, I was very supportive. But on the inside, I was just seething. I was angry and jealous, and I felt like Gwen's brother had taken this singular idea that I had and stolen it away and made it his own in attempts to hoard all that attention and respect that I thought he was already getting. On some level, I knew that my thought process was very sinful and very childish, but I attempted to rationalize my behavior by telling myself that the reason that he was adopting, the reason that our friends Chip and Kristen had really adopted, and the reason that any couple really adopted outside of infertility issues was for the same reason that I was wanting to adopt, for selfish pursuit and for selfish gain. And so I decided right then and there I didn't want anything to do with adoption. I decided secretly that adoption would not be part of my family dynamic moving forward. And so in using adoption for such base and selfish purposes, I had allowed sin and bitterness to creep in my heart, and it had blinded me to the true gospel message that can be associated with it. And then God, in his goodness and his kindness and in his grace, chose to open my eyes. And he did so by moving us to Columbus, Georgia, and getting us involved in a church where the gospel was preached each and every Sunday without fail, without dilution, without sugarcoating it, and without apologizing for it. And I eventually heard a sermon on adoption from the pulpit, and that message that our friends Chip and Kristen had tried to convey to me those 5 or 6 years prior suddenly became very apparent. And it was through Brad's preaching, and it was through verses of Scripture found in Ephesians 1 that I began to understand that adoption is an outpouring of God's grace for us, that it's a scriptural representation that highlights the assurance we have in our relationship with him, that highlights the promise and the inheritance we have as his children, and that highlights the fact that he redeemed us, and also one that highlights the fact that God chose to adopt us, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. And in doing so through his son, Jesus Christ, he's given us a small glimpse into the incredible depth of love that he has for us. Not only was I able to see this or hear this from the pulpit, but I was also able to see it in the eyes of people around me. Gwen and I were introduced to Daniel and Jenny Horde. We heard of their incredible adoption story. We met Jenny's parents, the Loudermilks, and heard of their testimony. We were introduced to Reynold and Daniel Counts and learned of their incredible devotion to the orphan through foster care. We met other people in this church who had adopted. We learned of Gia's Hope and the incredible work that they do through adoption. And so God was saturating me with this biblical view of adoption, one that was completely contrary to the view that I initially held, one that was centered on grace and humility, as I alluded to earlier, rather than on selfishness and pride, one that was centered on being obedient to God's call to care for the orphan rather than centered on trying to please the world around me, one that was centered on solely giving God in his kingdom the glory, rather than trying to bring glory to oneself. And so it was through this godly devotion to this biblical principle of adoption that I slowly began to change. God slowly began to change me. And as my wife pointed out to me this morning, he was using the process of adoption as part of my sanctification. But still I rebelled, and still I wrestled with God about this notion of adoption. I kept telling myself that the cost was too high, the commitment was too great, The sacrifice was too much. But he continued to work on me, and I continued to pray. And eventually, I just tapped out, and I cried uncle. And it happened one night when Gwen and I were in bed praying for that little boy from Eastern Europe with spina bifida who was adopted by the Hueys, and he was undergoing his fourth or fifth corrective surgery for his spine. And I got about halfway through the prayer, and I just couldn't continue. I just lost the ability to speak, and I feel like that the Holy Spirit was just moving in me then. He was admonishing me and telling me that it was time to move forward with adoption in my own life. And I told Gwen about that. We prayed together. We cried together. We laughed together. And a few months later, we came to the conclusion that God was leading us to adopt a little girl from India between the ages of 4 and 6. And when we first started that process, we were told that such a referral could take up to a year since the parameters were so narrow. But 2 weeks later, we had a referral for a 4-year-old girl from India. And she's up on the screen. Her name is Shanti. And we're at the end stages of the process. Our paperwork is in the court. And if they approve it, hopefully we'll be traveling in January or February to bring her home. And since that time, God has blessed us immensely. He's blessed us by showing the generosity and kindness of friends and family and a church that have supported us monetarily. He's blessed us by surrounding us with friends and family and a church who have committed to pray for us and committed to pray for our daughter. And most importantly, he's blessed us by giving us the knowledge that now our adopted daughter has every opportunity in the world to hear the gospel and to see her need for Christ. And in doing so, be adopted for a second time, and this time into a family that far surpasses mine or anyone else's in this room. And I'll just leave you a quote from a Christian author, Ed Welch. And in one of his writings, he admonishes the reader to get to know people in such a way that you're affected by their story. And I would just take that one step further this morning and tell you to, if you're out there and you're thinking about adoption, whether it's for the wrong reasons or right reasons, get to know people who have adopted or who have supported adopted in such a way that you're affected by their story. God surrounded me with these people in my life when I needed them, and he used them to change my life, and he can do the same thing in yours. Thank you.